Bandwidth and hosting for Bagel Tech Media is provided by UK2.net. Web hosting for everyone. Your source for everything that's happening in media tech. This is Bagel Tech Media, episode number 42 for Friday, February 18th, 2011. No Zoom shall pass. Hello, everybody. Welcome to our Friday installment of Bagel Tech Media. I am your host, Kyle Swiger, and it's great to have you back on board for our second installment of Bagel Tech Media this week. And of course, first time tuning into the show, this is the place where we talk about all things happening in media technology. We're talking about streaming devices. We're talking about the gadgets that stream those things to you. We're talking about, you know, restrictions, DRM, audio, video, all covered in this show. And we do it for you twice a week. We got a Tuesday and, of course, now our Friday edition of the show. Don't forget, of course, Bagel Tech Media, part of the Bagel Tech Network. Head on over to BagelTechNews.com right now. That is our network site, and you can get Bagel Tech Media over there, as well as other great shows on the Bagel Tech Network. We're also a proud member as well of the Tech Podcast Network, and you can find us over there as well at TechPodcasts.com. Now, I have to say, we've had a lot, and I do mean a lot, of media tech news that's happened since our Tuesday show, so I don't want to waste any more time. So let's get to it right now. So is the Microsoft Zoom platform dying? Well, from all the speculation we've been seeing this week, it just might be. Now, we've got actually a statement from Microsoft saying that they're not killing any Zoom service features in any way. Microsoft remains committed to providing a great music and video experience on the Zoom platform, such as Xbox Live, Windows-based PCs, Zoom devices, and Windows Phone 7. Well, that kind of makes a whole lot of sense now, doesn't it? But they're saying Zoom services will be available on, you know, Zoom devices, Xbox Live. There's a lot of speculation going on right now. We don't really know what's going to be going on. We don't even know how much longer Microsoft might be actually going to be dedicated to actually supporting the Zoom hardware and its services for, like, the Zoom Pass. The Zoom brand actually could be on its last legs right now. And to be honest with you, it probably is about time that it probably just says bye-bye. It has not taken off. My theory on it, the reason why it has not taken off, it's limited to the North American market, and they just expanded just last year into the European one, just in the UK. Other than that, that's it. As you know, everybody knows this podcast is based in the Philippines. I cannot go into a store and buy a Zoom player. Why? Probably because of how it's set up. And even iTunes works a little bit like this too. I mean, we have an iTunes store here, but I cannot access the music catalog here. It just doesn't happen. We don't have the platform for it. It has to do with licensing restrictions, what country gets what. The Zoom, of course, has its unlimited music subscription. Let's face it, was very much the pioneer in really starting that, having a subscription-based music. It is one of the reasons that made the Zoom so compelling. Unfortunately, though, it was so limited and not many people could take advantage of it that it just is kind of dying a natural death now. It is a bit sad because I think the Zoom was really a good idea. I think the device was also really, really good, but apparently it just wasn't good enough. So we'll keep an eye on it here at the Bagel Tech Media podcast, but it does not look good for the Zoom brand in the coming months. Comcast has launched its own 24/7 Infinity 3D channel. Now, this is basically in response to, on Valentine's Day, DirecTV launched its ESPN 3D and its own in 3D network, which is basically shown a whole bunch of different 3D content. And it's kind of changing, actually, every day. Around 9 p.m., they start trying to show something new. Well, Comcast is answering it, and so far, it looks like they've actually been fairly successful with this thing. I mean, we're talking on February 20th, they're going to be doing the Tim Hortons Classic Outdoor NHL game. That's going to be a first for 3D. Comcast is going to be able to do that. And according to what they're saying right now, their Infinity 3D channel has already crossed over 1 million 3D VOD views, video on demand views. I could understand that, the video on demand thing. Still waiting to see how it's going to really fit in with sports. I mean, we haven't heard really great things about ESPN 3D. A lot of people are saying, eh. And we talk about it on the show all the time about 3D being a bit gimmicky. But I think with the video on demand things, it makes perfect sense. Particularly a lot of people bought 3D TVs over Christmas because basically you're force fed it. You don't really, I don't really want the 3D TV. But guess what? You get it anyway. So a lot of people are going to try it out. You know, you got the glasses already. Try it out. Best way to do it, video on demand. You're out one purchase and see how it goes. Look for 3D to get bigger than this, though. Honestly, as much as I'm reluctant to say that, I think 3D will continue to grow. And as long as we can start getting the 3D glassless free TVs in the living room, that's when I think it's going to be start becoming more compelling. Right now, the glasses just ain't cool. It just ain't cool. On now with more media tech news that happened this week. Redbox is planning a Netflix-like subscription. Now, Redbox is kind of this kiosk kind of thing. They've been around for a while, and you know, let's face it, the kiosk was kind of a little late to the game. Did all right. Some were actually introduced at airports. Blockbuster also kind of got a little bit on with the kiosk game, and we kind of seen how that worked out. But Redbox had done a little bit better than that. But it looks like, just like anything else, that we're wanting to start to get to a video-on-demand service. And who wants physical media anymore? Who wants to go to a box and drop things off and get something new? It just isn't convenient for us anymore. So they're taking a Netflix approach. And what we're also hearing about this thing is they could actually be partnering, that is, with Amazon and Walmart. Now, there's your major key right there. Amazon, and particularly Walmart. I mean, Walmart, the dominant U.S. retailer out there. To be able to do that, I think could actually give them, I wouldn't say an edge, but would at least get them in to a slot where they could really, really compete with Netflix. However, though, Netflix very much ahead of the game right now. It's everywhere right now. You got Netflix on your Apple TV. You've got Netflix that just came to the Boxy Box. You've got Netflix on the Roku Box. I mean, literally, Netflix has done the right thing by getting their brand on so many of our set-top boxes. To do that, That is really what's needed for Redbox to really start getting into the market, to really succeed. They're going to have to do that. Now, with partners like Walmart and Amazon behind it, particularly, you know, with those two, even Amazon probably more or less, because you've got the whole integration of digital on-demand content with Amazon. They kind of already have that platform set up. So this could be very interesting in the coming months. I mean, really, the possibilities are endless. Let's just face it. The possibilities are really endless. And Netflix really needs a competitor. It isn't iTunes really for Netflix. iTunes is still, let me pay for it. Yeah, sure, I can rent it. But Netflix has still got it down to, first off, a price point, and secondly, just convenience. Why do you think it's on the Apple TV to begin with? I mean, even Apple probably really can't deny this in the end. They let it on there. We do need a competition, though, for Netflix. It could get to a point where Netflix just, it becomes a dominant thing, and that's where everybody goes to. And therefore, we have lack of competition. Therefore, we might starting to see a lack of service with Netflix. I have high hopes. Let's see where this thing goes. But good on you, Redbox. Let's see what you guys can do. Sony looks like it has launched its Music Unlimited service in the U.S. $10 a month. Yeah, okay. I was hoping it'd be a little bit cheaper than that. It is unlimited, a subscription service, and they're calling it, they're throwing down the gauntlet to iTunes. So we got a little bit more on the iTunes thing in just a moment. But the service is purely Sony. We've reported on this before of what Sony's really doing with this thing. You have to have Sony devices under the sun to even be able to have access to the thing. You've got to either have an internet connection to, say, Bravia TV. You got to have a Blu-ray, internet-connected Blu-ray player, or you can also get this via the PlayStation Network as well. Now, it was actually launched back in December in the UK with over 6 million songs to start with in the library in the UK. You're not going to get that in the US. Why? Again, licensing restrictions. You're going to get close to that. It's definitely in the millions, but you're not going to get the full front just like the UK did right out of the gate. $10 a month. I'm not sure about the price point. Why? Because you can only get Sony content. These are only Sony artists. So if the person you want is on, say, EMI, good luck. You ain't going to get it here. This is why I don't really like the whole idea of Sony and EMI and Warner, you know, we basically got four major record labels right now. They don't need to be starting their own streaming services where we got to go there to get the content, right? We want a nice place set up that, let's face it, like iTunes, even though it may not be the absolute cheapest, or even Amazon. Let's just say Amazon. We got to have a place like that where we have the choice as consumers to actually go in and say, this is what I want. This is what I want to buy. I don't care what label it's on. I don't care if it's Sony and they say it's so great or whatever. I don't care. This is what I like. And I don't have to cross all over to your place because you distributed it. You made it. Now I got to watch it on your device. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, it's a bit Apple-ish, isn't it? A bit Apple-ish. It is and it isn't. Apple doesn't really create the content we listen to. They distribute the content that we listen to. And this kind of actually does. This will lead us completely into our other story. You know, again, the Sony Music, it has launched. So if you got a PlayStation device particularly, check it out. I think they're actually giving a bit of a free trial on the thing right now, so you can at least see how well it worked for you. But this leads us on to another thing. Earlier in the week, we actually said that Sony was going to be pulling out of iTunes. They said they'd had enough. They got their own thing doing. They got their own music stream. They don't need them anymore. turns out, oops. Yeah, iTunes, we do need you. We didn't say that. Oh, geez, that's just speculation, Apple. Of course, Sony needs iTunes. iTunes is the number one retailer for digital music distribution in the U.S. You'd have to be an idiot to sit there and say, we can do it alone. Because let's face it, Sony's tried to do it alone before. It hasn't worked. It hasn't worked. And they know it's not going to work. So from all accounts of what we're hearing now, they said, no. Everything was taken out of context. This was actually according to the Australian The Age newspaper. It suggested that, remember, that Sony's Music Unlimited service would mark the beginning of the inevitable that they would be pulling out of iTunes. Not so. The head of the Sony Computer Entertainment Division in Australia explains that the news outlet could well be time for Sony to renew its partnership with Apple and iTunes, not wander away from it. He said he was misquoted. Honestly, I don't think he was. I think he just had a big head on his shoulders, and that's what came out. And then somebody tapped him and said, dude, we need iTunes because all of our artists are sold through iTunes. So, anyways, they're going back on the comment. That's settled now. Looks like Sony is definitely staying in iTunes. Speaking of our fine record labels out there that just love to dictate where and what we get, EMI finally has caved in, this is EMI Music, to sign with Spotify, getting it inches a little bit closer into the U.S. market. Of course, the Europeans have been enjoying the wonderful thing that we all know as Spotify for quite some time now, and now EMI is on board. Who are we missing? Well, we're still missing Warner Music, and we're still missing Universal Music. So Sony's on board with it, even though last year Sony said, music streaming services are dying. We don't feel that's the direction. We feel like one of these days we're going to pull out. Well, apparently not. They've decided to stay with the thing, and it's a good thing they have. Spotify, you know, all of our European listeners that listen to this podcast, you know exactly what the rest of us around the world are actually missing. When is Spotify coming to the U.S.? We still don't know. We've heard rumors that iTunes, Apple, is insistently trying to keep it from coming into the U.S., actually. So far, it looks like they're kind of succeeding with that. Are they the ones full force behind it? Probably not. Obviously, we're still having deals with the record label stateside, but this is getting things closer. I mean, eventually, if we can just get one more on with Spotify, the other label, whatever one, Warner or Universal, they're going to have to cave. It's going to have to happen. So it is good news. It is good news yet again for the consumer. Now, if we can just get Spotify stateside and elsewhere, I don't want to leave the rest of the world out of the equation because I'm in the Philippines. I'd love to have it here too. If we can just get them, everybody, gelling together and realize that they just don't have to sit there and just hold on to it for near death, I really think Spotify could be a really, really great way of moving forward. Let's face it, on-demand streaming, it's where it's going. It is where it's going. Speaking of on-demand and streaming, iPlayer links up with ITV, but don't think that you're going to be able to watch ITV content through there. Now, this was actually announced earlier. I was just say earlier, about 9 months ago. The BBC actually wanted to start including links in its iPlayer things to, you know, to let you have access to more content, not just what is shown on the BBC. So non-BBC channels. 9 months later, they're showing the love. Here we are. Here is the iPlayer with links to ITV. That's all you're going to get. Just the link. So you can find what's on. You can see where it's at. And, you know, when we're talking ITV, you're talking ITV1. You're talking 5, ITV2, ITV3. And again, this is for all of our British listeners of the show. But that's as good as it gets. Once you're there, gives you the link, and it's going to take you away from the iPlayer. From the iPlayer itself. So it would have been nice. Of course, we're asking 2 months. I mean, this is the equivalent of asking, you know, say stateside with, you know, say NBC saying, hey, CBS, can we play the stuff here? Or, of course, no, this is never going to happen. It was nice. It was a nice thought, though. And you thought, well, maybe it was possible. But it is nice. It is nice that they're showing the love to other television, quote unquote, providers and giving you, again, the choice for the consumer. I have to say, when it comes to a lot of how people consume and get their media, it seems like, in Britain at least, there's a lot of fair game going on. Sometimes it's not always the case, but it seems like a lot of times they're always thinking about the viewer at home and what is best for them. Be nice if we could start seeing this elsewhere in the world. Our last thing we're going to touch on, and it has also to do with our UK listeners. Have you got a Series 1 TiVo? I'm sorry to say, TiVo's withdrawing support for your unit. Old boxes won't work from June of this year. It's just a common play of, hey, you've enjoyed it for way too long, man, and now we want some more money from you. I know, at the end of the day, you cannot keep supporting old devices till the end of time. I get it. You know, we have to upgrade eventually. It is the way of moving technology forward. But it would be nice if they at least gave people, you know, less than 6 months to go find a new box and, you know, say a year. At least let me know Christmas time last year, that way I know I can go get one over Christmas. Well, there's been speculation about this, actually. We heard somewhat a little bit back in November, but nobody thought it was really true. They didn't figure TiVo would really do this. Well, they had to. They are going to do it, should I say, and it's going to happen June 1st, 2011. So if you got the Series 1 TiVo box in the UK, ladies and gentlemen, I guess, according to TiVo, it's time to upgrade. Well, that is going to do it for your Friday installment of Bagel Tech Media. Hey, guys, once again, as always, thank you for taking the time to tune in to the show. And before I get to and letting you know where we are and where you can find us, I got to thank our sponsor, which is UK2.net. You hear me mention them every single week on the podcast here. But really, without them, guys, this network would literally die. There would be no free content. There would be basically no Bagel Tech Network. Head on over to BagelTechNews.com right now. You're going to see their click-through over there. It's UK2.net. Click the click-through. That way they know we are sending you. And, you know, if you're not even, you know, wanting to buy anything, you know, if you just want to have a little browse around or whatever, because we're not forcing you to buy anything. I mean, just have a look over there. If you're looking for domain names, web hosting, they probably can cover you pretty well over there, but just have a look. But please use that click-through. That's at BagelTechNews.com. Towards the bottom there, UK2.net. Click the click through. That way they know we are sending you and they keep supporting us. Now, the podcast, how do you get a hold of it? Well, simple and easy to do. You can just go to BagelTechNews.com and then you can click our show page over there. It says Bagel Tech Media. You can also go to BagelTechMedia.com. Now, you still have to click to get to our show page right now. That's going to be fixed hopefully sometime next week. Either way, you can get there to the show page. You can get subscribed to the audio edition of the show. And we're also available, of course, on the iTunes Store. We're also available, at least while it's still around, the Zoom Marketplace. And again, you can also find us at the Tech Podcast Network as well at techpodcast.com. You can also follow us on Twitter to stay up to date on what is happening in media technology news. That's at twitter.com/BagelTechMedia. You can also follow me as well at twitter.com/KyleSwagger and email us. I love getting it. I love answering it. Please keep them coming. BagelTechMedia@gmail.com. BagelTechMedia@gmail.com. Always love to hear from each and every one of you. Now, once again, I'm your host, Kyle Swagger. I hope everybody has a great weekend. I'll see you back here on Tuesday for Bagel Tech Media. This is your source for everything that's happening in media tech.